Welcome to the Kingdom Life podcast, where we equip ourselves with godly wisdom so that we can go into the world as kings and priests, manifesting all that the kingdom of God is.
An important thing. So he had a very prophetic spirit upon his life. Now, one of the things that I want to say to you is that according to scripture, and it's found in the book of 1 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 2, it says this: moreover, it is required in stewards. See, every one of us, we stewards. We are here to manage God's resources. We are kind of managers of God's resources. We stewards, we're administrators. And it says this: moreover, it is required in stewards that a man be found faithful. You know, a man be found trusting God, faithful. You know what that scripture doesn't say? It doesn't say that God is interested how technically correct you are in the Bible or understanding the Bible or doctrines. God is not pleased with our understanding of doctrines, you know, how well we understand doctrines. But you know what God is pleased with? When a man will trust him. When a man will believe him. When a man or a woman will take God's word for granted and accept that as final authority. That's what God is pleased with. And, you know, and that's why, and for me, you know, most of that, that's how I approach my Christianity and my life, is I base it purely not because I want to be technically right, but I want to please God in what I do. And you know, if I go to heaven and God says, you got the Holy Communion totally wrong, that's not the way it's supposed to be done. You know, you're supposed to have that small tot and that one pinch of bread. And my mitigating factor would be, God, but you said without faith it is impossible to please you. It's not about the food, it's about the faith, you know. And so I will be able to defend myself, you know. I have that. If I stand before God in judgment, I understand the word, and I will be able to defend myself, God, but I did it because of that. Therefore, you can't punish me, you know. And so, and when you approach God's word, that's the kind of understanding you're going to have, you know. You stand before God, you must be able to defend yourself. And so the point is, we as a church, we must become faithful, you know. Learn to trust God. Don't worry about being technically 100% correct. The most important thing, as long as you don't deny the virgin birth of Jesus, and you don't deny that he died on the cross, and you don't deny that he rose from the dead, and you don't deny that, then you're not an heresy. You're not a fake. That's the fundamentals of Christianity. You know, every other thing else is a preference. What time you start church? Nowhere in the Bible it says what time you start church. Nowhere in the Bible it says how many times a week you must have church. Nowhere in the Bible, those are preferences. The fundamentals is what we have to get right. So put that thing up, Trev. So I just want to run through this quickly. The top part is blocked out. Yeah, that's it. So basically then, let's deal with this issue of Enoch. Because of his faith, he was translated. Let me deal quickly with that, because there is this teaching in the Bible called eschatology. And eschatology means that it's the theology concerning death, the judgment of human beings, and the destiny of mankind. That's what eschatology means. So when you deal with the issue of death, the first thing that we know about death is that death is the separation of the, you know, the Bible says God made the sand and God blew into that sand the breath of life and man became a living soul. So firstly, man is a life-giving spirit with a soul. So man is a living soul. So in death, what happens? The living soul gets separated. That means the soul with the spirit gets separated from the body. The body goes to sleep, and the living soul goes before God. The state of the saved is where you get into the presence of God with your soul, with your living soul. The state of the unsaved, this is my interpretation. I've not heard any preacher preach on this yet. It's just my interpretation. If I'm wrong, I'm wrong, but we'll only find out when we go on to the other side. To me, for the unsaved, it will be the separation between the soul and the spirit, because that is eternal regret. Because I'm at a point, because for me, two things. Number one, you have to approach the word with a common sense approach. If God blew his breath into man, the spirit, why would God condemn himself to a hell? I can't figure that out, you know. Why would God condemn himself? So, but the thing about when God blew his breath, man became a soul. There's everywhere in scripture, I did a search, I found it's the soul that sins, it's a soul that's going to die, never the spirit. So to me, that the biggest regret of a human, when the unsaved die, is that the spirit gets separated from the soul. The soul lives alone, and it's that regret of being totally lost, because you lost something. You lost the God part in you, because the God part has gone back to God, and you are there on your own until the resurrection, where your body and your soul is connected to each other. And that's the same with the believer, right? And so that's basically the idea of death in the Bible. The second thing is that for those of us that are living, there's going to come to a time that's called the Great Tribulation. Okay, Jesus spoke about it in the book of Matthew chapter 24. And during this time, there would be the Antichrist that will come into the earth. And again, all I'm saying here is we don't have to be doctrinally correct. We need to walk in faith. That's all I'm saying. If we walk in faith, the chances are we get a better deal than trying to be 100% doctrinally correct and not understanding anything, because nobody knows anything, okay? The Bible says no man knows when Jesus is coming back, right? Not even Jesus, only the Father. So I don't know why there's so much of hype about when Jesus is coming and so on. So let's deal with faith issues. Let's walk the safe ground, okay? And I'll say this with just my observation. I'll tell you something. All the atmosphere is set for the Antichrist, and the greatest tool for the Antichrist will be deception. So basically, the Antichrist he derives his power firstly from technology, secondly from the governments of the world, thirdly from big businesses. That would be where the Antichrist gets his maximum power, and the third thing would be media. But there's the thing here, somewhere in the 7-year period, this is where the church has lots of issues with. Yeah, this one here. Between the 7-year period, there is lots of arguments and fighting that the church is going to be gone. The church is not going to be in the tribulation. And so there's three theories of what's going to happen to the church. That means before the Great Tribulation, the church is going to be raptured. Now, it is an idea that is founded in Scripture, because Enoch was raptured. Why? Because of his faith. Who else was raptured? Elijah. Why? Because of his faith. He walked with God. So if you're walking in faith, the chances are we don't have to go through the tribulation, because coronavirus was a foretaste, right, of how bad things can be. So there's the advocates for the pre-trib will give you scriptures that says before the tribulation the church has to go, leave the earth, and that means the people that are living will automatically be zapped out of the earth and they'll be gone. And I think for me, the theory would be that what happened to those people will be that we were abducted by aliens, because there's a lot of UFO issues now at the moment in America, and America is funding lots of monies of trying to prove the existence of UFOs. So basically, their stage is being set. Okay, there's a large, large population believes in pre-trib, and all the faith preachers do that. There's a small minority of preachers believe in mid-trib, somewhere in the 3.5 period. The Great Tribulation is a 7-year period, but somewhere in the 3.5 period, the church is going to go. And then the apostles, and lots of them are in Phoenix, they believe in post-trib, that the church is going to go at the moment of the second coming, in conjunction with the second coming. So, but it doesn't matter when it's going to happen. The thing is, everybody agrees it's going to happen. It doesn't matter. And all I'm saying is, for us as a church, what do we believe? I don't know. Okay? If it happens in pre-trip, so be it. If it happens in mid-trip, so it be it. If it happens in post-trip, so be it. But the important thing is walk in faith so that you become a candidate to go. Okay? For us, let's settle with that issue, right? And so that's what I think. So basically, why are we talking about this? Because Enoch was translated, and we're saying we have that opportunity as well. Okay? Because if you track the lineage from Jesus through to Enoch, Enoch is part of the lineage, and that means we become a heir of being translated. In other words, it's part of the deal for us, because you track the lineage, we're going through Enoch, and then if that happened to Enoch, that can happen to us in Christ. Okay? So then the second coming, okay, is the bodily, the second coming then, or at the translation, the saints that come with Jesus, their bodies from the earth gets reconnected to them. So that's what that means. So therefore, your body is at sleep at the resurrection. Your body, the dead in Christ, your body gets reunited, because you need a body to come back and fight. But you've got to decide your shortfalls and where you think you, what you think will happen to you when you go to heaven. So in the second coming, and so at the second coming, scripture says that Satan will be in prison for 1,000 years. And then for 1,000 years, Jesus would come back to restore Israel as a nation. Okay? After the 1,000 years, now this is eschatology, after 1,000 years, Satan will be released. He will once again deceive the nation. That will be the last war. Then, number five, Satan will be eternally imprisoned. Then there's a white throne judgment where the souls, this is our understanding, the souls of those people that are on the other side, that's floating in space, that's how I understand it, will be connected to their bodies, and because after that is eternal torment. That's how I understand my reading of God's word. That's number six, the great white throne. And then number seven is eternal torment for the unbeliever, or eternal bliss. That means you are in the presence of God in a new earth, because the story ends where heaven comes down to earth and heaven and earth becomes one. That's how the story ends. Okay? Revelation 21, 22 talks about heaven coming down to earth, heaven and earth becoming one, and we are staying there. So why am I saying all this? I'm saying all this to you is that we don't have to be technically correct about these things, but if we learn to walk in faith, at least.
Thank you for joining us as we equipped, prepared, and edified ourselves for the week ahead. As you go into the world, may the Lord bless you, protect you, look on you with favor, and keep you. Until next time, God bless.